Welcome everyone on this Holy Trinity Sunday. And let's just take a moment to center ourselves and then I'll call us to worship. We gather in your name, O Lord, for you are the Lord who gives strength to your people and who blesses them with peace. You are the Lord who comes close to your people and draws them into your heart. You are the Lord who enjoys your people and equips your people and calls them to serve you in the world. You are the Lord who loves your people and invites them into the fellowship of the Holy Trinity. You are the Lord. We worship you. Amen. And now we'll join in our first hymn, which is Meekness and Majesty. So let us pray. Abba, Father, Mother, Creator, we call you by many names, but the names we choose show our relationship with you. We desire to draw closer to you, O God. We desire to hear your voice above the chatter of the world, to know your ways and to walk in them. Jesus, the Christ, the Saviour of us all, our brother and friend, we desire to walk in your ways and to love one another as you have first loved us. Spirit of life, wind and breath among us, we feel you move through us, guiding us on our journey, inspiring us to share your love with others. Triune God, we desire to relate to you and to each other more fully, so that we might draw into the depths of your love, first glimpsed at creation, when your voice called us and the earth forth out of darkness into your light. Continue to call us, guide us, and lead us into this world and beyond. Amen. God of truth, we bring to you our sorrow for our sins, for seeking earthly absolutes and not eternal mysteries. We are truly sorry. For rooting ourselves in the finite and not nurturing the infinite within, we are truly sorry. For saying I much more than we, and for damaging relationships, we are truly sorry. Forgive us and strengthen us, we pray. We no longer need to live as slaves to our sinful natures. Sin has no claim on us anymore, because through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have put to death our old ways of acting and thinking. We have been given new life as God's own children. So be at peace. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you for the might and the mystery of your being. We praise you for the uniqueness and the unity of your fellowship. We praise you for drawing us together and for setting us apart. We praise you in song, in silence, in the mundane, and in the mystical. We praise you. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now Sally's going to speak to us.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. Can I have, now everyone's waving. There was a bit of a delay there. That's lovely. Can I have our slide, please? I'm going to share some facts with you, and we're thinking about space, the final frontier. So here's the purposes of people listening on the through the telephone. I shall read them out. Number one, there are more stars in the universe than grains of sand on all the beaches on Earth. That's at least a billion trillion. Number two, a black hole is created when big stars explode. Its gravitational force is so strong that nothing can escape from it. Luckily, the closest black hole is about 10,000 light years from Earth. Number three, when venturing into space, astronauts wear spacesuits which must be warmed, cooled, pressurized, and supplied with fresh air. This takes 3 hours for them to put on. And finally, number four, in 840 AD, Emperor Louis of Bavaria died of fright when experiencing an eclipse of the sun. This is when the moon moves between the Earth and the sun and a shadow falls over parts of the Earth. Now, you'll have to forgive me because I actually told you a lie a few minutes ago. I said that these were four facts that I wanted to share with you, but they're not. One of them isn't true. And I'd like you to think about which one isn't true. And in the chat, you can type in the number 1, 2, 3, or 4. Okay, the votes are coming in. Okay. I'll wait for more. Yeah, okay. Right, so we're getting people saying 1, some people say 2, some people say 3, and some people say 4. Okay, last chance to make your vote. Right, I shall tell you which one is not true. It's number 3. When venturing into space, astronauts wear spacesuits which must be warmed, cooled, pressurized, and supplied with fresh air. That bit is true, but it doesn't take them 3 hours to put them on. It takes them 6 hours to put them on. 6 hours to put them on. Okay, thank you. If we can remove the slide, that would be great, because then I can see more of you. There we go. Why am I telling you all this? It's because when I think about this concept of space, it blows my mind. It's just too immense. It's huge. It's unfathomable. It's just beyond anything that my tiny brain can fit in. And yet, just because we don't fully understand the universe, it doesn't mean that we can't somehow enjoy it and experience it, albeit in a relatively small way. And I think today in the readings, you'll see how big and possibly unfathomable God is. And being Trinity Sunday as well, the whole concept of the Holy Trinity is just quite mind-blowing and complex, certainly for me to understand. But it doesn't mean that we can't enjoy him, and it doesn't mean that we can't experience him just because he is so much bigger than us. And I want to finish by reading something that I read in the notes for today. God is discovered hidden in plain sight in our individual and communal lives. Awesomely other, intimately close, sometimes both. Our encounters with God draw us into deeper, more wholesome and interconnected relationships. We find that God is untamable, yet present to every leaf and flower. God is wonderfully comforting, yet uncomfortably challenging. His visible presence is everywhere, yet elusive, as if God had just gone around the corner. That's my thought for the day. Amen.
Thanks, Sally. Great thought. We've now come to the time to have our readings, which will be followed by a sermon that Leslie has recorded for us. So we have two readings today, one from Isaiah and one from John. The Isaiah one will be read by Cathy Seymour, and John's will be read by Christine Wise.
So the good morning, everybody. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, and it's verses 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on his throne, high and exalted, and his robe filled the whole temple. Round him, flaming creatures were standing, each of which had six wings. Each creature covered its face with two wings, and its body with two, and used the other two for flying. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord Almighty is holy. His glory fills the world." The sound of their voices made the foundation of the temple shake, and the temple itself was filled with smoke. I said, "There is no hope for me. I am doomed because every word that passes my lips is sinful, and I live among a people whose every word is sinful. And yet, with my own eyes, I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the creatures flew down to me, carrying a burning coal that he had taken from the temple with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with the burning coal and said, "This has touched your lips, and now your guilt is gone and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord say, "Whom shall I send? Who will be our messenger?" I answered, "I will go. Send me." Amen.
The second reading is from the third chapter of John, verses 1 to 17. There was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus, who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. One night he went to Jesus and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him." Jesus answered, "I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. How can a grown man be born again?" Nicodemus asked. "He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time." "I am telling you the truth," replied Jesus, "that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised, because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" asked Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "You are a great teacher in Israel, and you don't know this. I am telling you the truth. We speak of what we know and report what we have seen, yet none of you is willing to accept our message. You do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world. How will you ever believe me then, when I tell you about the things of heaven. And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man, who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its saviour. Amen.
Good morning or afternoon or evening. My name is Leslie Charlton. I'm one of the ministers of Kingston Act Reformed Church. Glad that you're with us. The texts that I'm preaching from on this day are Isaiah 6 verses 1 to 8 and then John 3, 1 to 17. Read them, give yourself a moment and then come in and hear what I'm thinking about them. Though I'm sure your ideas are better. Good to hear what they are. Let me know. How did I miss it for all those years that it starts with a death? The passage read at ordinations and inductions starts with the death of King Uzziah in the year that King Uzziah died. After 5 decades, he is gone. That makes it clear that in the back of the passage from Isaiah is a traumatic time when Isaiah is called to be a prophet. There's a backdrop of the transition, and then there's the backdrop of the reign of terror of the Assyrian Empire. Assyria was the most formidable army the world has ever known at the time of Isaiah 6. The Assyrians were, they had a massive economic background, they had advanced weaponry, and they also had a slightly terrible penchant for psychological warfare too. In contrast, Jerusalem was a city made up of hastily erected defences filled with refugees from the countryside and from other neighbouring cities. And yet, Isaiah hears the call of God and steps up. Tough times do not remove the voice of God. They might mean, actually, that the voice of God is abused to help people live with uncertainty, to help people live with darkness. Here we have a passage that reminds us that with God there is always mystery. The God whom we worship is beyond our thinking. God's glory fills the temples. For the prophet Isaiah, it's too much. He's overwhelmed by a sense of the holiness of God, caught up in some sort of ecstatic event where he sees angels and he hears music that we would call the music of heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory. Yet the message must be told. The passage makes it clear that although earthly kingship is undergoing transition, the heavenly kingship is secure. Today is Trinity Sunday. What do you mean you don't like the Trinity and you would dismiss it because you don't understand it? We forget, the minute we use the word God, we're talking about something that we don't understand. We're so familiar with it that we forget. Is it in our arrogance, or is it in our search for order, that we think that in the world of God we should understand? Who do we think we are? It's laughable. Maybe one of the treasures of this mad COVID times is that we will really take in and really understand that time is precarious. We don't know. And we don't know how long things like life will be. We don't know, and that is okay. So why don't we like to ask questions? Why do we associate questions with childishness? Why do we associate curiosity with immaturity, when actually they're marks in the opposite direction? Why don't we like to explore? Because we have to live every day. We have to make our choices. We need certainties. We have certainties. God loves us. God has reached out to us. We are called to reach out to God and to others. Rock solid certainties. That call, that welcome, is enough to build our lives on. If you've come to a place in your faith when you think, yep, I've got it, whatever it is, yep, I've got it, then what you have got is not God. If you've come to a place in your faith journey that you can withdraw from other people and just be you and the Almighty, then what you have got is not God as Christian people understand God. God is about more and more, and God is about movement. God is about love in relationships. Now, I know I'm strange, but I'm a big fan of the Trinity because it has within it the notion of movement, and it has within it the relationship of God right in the heart of the Godhead. Movement, relationship. Sometimes in the world of God, we get so focused on doctrine and personal morality that we forget that Christianity is all about a group of people journeying together to know the one who relates. In the olden days, people used to debate the question, can you be a Christian and not go to church? Go to church? It's a question with a number of mistakes in it, but the Trinity and these times help us to answer it. Church is about relationships with people. Church is about relationships with God. God is about relationships with us. Not just us as the chosen ones, but all people. For God so loved the world that he gave. All are within the love and the orbit of God. Some just don't know it. And it's worth remembering that God so loved the world, that is, the God-hating world, that drew Jesus to torture and to the cross. Nicodemus comes to Jesus to ask him some questions. He does it at night, probably because he doesn't want people to see him. He is a leader of the Jews, yet he has recognised something of God in Jesus, and he knows others aren't feeling the same way about him. Nicodemus arrives to ask questions. In our hearing, some of his questions sound a bit daft. We are people who are used to the idea of flesh and divine being in one space together. We know it for ourselves, and we certainly believe it for Jesus. But it's a brave leader or teacher, a brave person like Nicodemus, who can say, I don't know. Yet we all know there's nothing worse than somebody filling the air with waffle that actually says, I don't know, without them saying it. But people can get to a certain stage of life where they think they should know. And it's been one of the markers of this season that's been a real challenge for some, is that they thought they knew, they thought they could, but they can't. It's people who thought they had skills, but now it looks like they don't even know the questions. for the politicians too, to say, I don't know. Tough. Especially at a time when we've all been desperate for certainty, because tolerating uncertainty is very difficult. The Trinity is a doctrine that turns upside down those people who think that they have it and they have arrived. We don't know, and that is okay. Trinity is how God moves, relates, dances, manifests God's self in the world, always in relationships. In many ways, Trinity is an entanglement that keeps unfolding back and forth, a sign, a metaphor for our ways of living together. God, human, other beings, the earth, the rivers, the oceans, the air. Everything is in a big relationship of deep belonging and entanglements. Relationship is for some an inconvenient truth about God, especially if God is your vehicle for power and the way of Jesus a justification for the decisions that keep you in your power. Without the Trinity, churches that claim to be church will carry on with a self-centered, navel-gazing of programmes, giving up on hospitality and decency, collaboration and community. Finally, even though Isaiah's times are traumatic, he still steps forward. He still says, "Send me." If you read further in the Isaiah passage, you will know that the expectations of his ministry are very low. The people will not understand. But still, he steps up. Just because times are difficult, that does not diminish our calling. Just because we have no expectations of success or of explaining God well, that does not remove from each of us the call to be God's people, to be light, to be love in our world. All of us, not just some of us. Together. Not as individuals pursuing our lonely, isolated path. And what does it mean for every day? It will change. I don't know what to do. Did you talk to anybody about that? Did you ask them? Or are we too proud to admit our ignorance? And the fact that we need help from other people to understand. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the words we heard in from your scriptures, your word. And may those words and the words of Leslie in her sermon help us to fulfill our calling in the world in the week to come. Help us to love one another, to love God, and to share God with others. Amen. So we'll move to our prayers of intercession. We are a world that is desperate for you, God. When powers struggle for dominance and war, oppression and abuse result, when groups of people oppose one another because of ideology, religion or culture, We need a God who is bigger than ourselves and our personal interests. Let's pause for a moment as we pray silently in our hearts for areas of conflict in our world that are on our hearts. When people are disregarded and devalued because of poverty, geography, or disease, when compassion and justice is withheld from some because of sexuality, race, or gender, we need a saviour who is more compassionate than we are, who includes even those we would exclude. We'll pause to pray for specific people and places of suffering in the world. When resources are mismanaged and abused, and the world and its creatures are destroyed, when motivation is scarce and creativity is in short supply to address the challenges that we face, we need a spirit who is more powerful and more creative than we could ever be. We pause to pray in our hearts for specific challenges and issues that we are struggling with in the world. When we think about the pandemic and all the other illnesses and diseases from which so many suffer, we are moved to ask God's blessing on all those who care for the sick. We pause and pray in our hearts for particular people who are on our hearts. But first, Ray Taylor has asked us especially that we ask for God's blessing on all the staff at Teddington Memorial Hospital who are caring for him and others so well. Lord, bless all those people. And finally, Lord, we lift up our minister Leslie to you as she takes a break. We pray that this will be a time of refreshment for her, a time of fun, a good time with family, Lord. Bless Leslie and bring her back to us refreshed. Lord God, loving Saviour, empowering Spirit, we offer you these prayers because we need you so desperately. Captivate us, call us and fill us, that we may be carriers of your eternal life to this world that you love so dearly. Amen. And now Martin has some notices for us. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Maddie. So we start the notices with a short video clip. This is from Christian Aid Week, but we thought it was worth showing, so I'll share that now.
We've had a great effort this week with the walkers walking 30 miles whilst carrying water. Can we hear your appreciation? We're on target to hit our £10,000 IO. So thank you very, very much. And our gracious Lady Mayor has agreed to let the walkers use the water in a very fitting way to give her a shower. So thank you very, very much, Margaret. Thank you. Who's going to be first?
All together.
So the things people will do for charity, isn't that great fun? So thank you to all those involved in Christian Aid Week. It's still not over if you want to give some support and haven't already, and it's vital work that they do. The rest of the notices, as we heard in the prayers, Leslie's away this week having a well-earned break, and please pray for her as we've just done, but continue to pray for her and her family, and particularly that she gets time to spend with them, given that there's still a lockdown in the Glasgow area. For pastoral emergencies while Leslie's away, please contact Sue Shaw. Catherine has Leslie's work phone to pick up any other issues, or you can contact me. Please remember that as from next Sunday, that's the 6th of June, this Zoom service will start at 10 o'clock. And there will then be two services in the building, one starting at 11:30 and one at 5 o'clock. Well, that all starts next week. Messy Church today at 3 p.m. on Zoom. If you're interested in joining that, please speak to Sally Butler for the details. Tomorrow's bank holiday, and there is a bank holiday walk. Thank you to Georgina Forbes, who's leading that. If you want to take part, meet at 10 o'clock at her house or at 10:15 at New Morden Baptist's. And the walk is going from New Morden to Kingston. So speak to Georgina if you need more details. Tomorrow is bank holiday, as I say, so there's no body and soul workout. So sorry about that. But you can always do the exercises and meditations at home. Also, there will be no listening service tomorrow. The coffee service is now running from Monday to Saturday. So that's great news, and thanks to all those who are involved and have made that possible. There is an elders meeting on Tuesday this week, so please remember the elders in your prayers. Other events, the details can be found on our website, or the regular communication that Catherine sends out. And if you don't get that already and would like it, then please let us know and we'll add you to the list. And finally, a few pastoral notices. Ray's already asked us to pray for the staff where he is. So he's still in, Ray Taylor's still in Teddington Hospital, recovering from his fall. John Arnold is going to hospital for a procedure. He'll be there for a couple of days, but please pray for him and Maggie. We continue to remember Myrtle Austin, Katie Frost, Leslie Carnegie, who has been in hospital and is now being treated at home, and also Natasha Reed, who is home again after having had some tests. So that's all the notices for this week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us pray for offertory and dedication. Almighty God, we bring our gift of money in thanks for all you have given us. We pray that you will guide us to use it and us in the service of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we prepare the Holy Communion, so bread and wine. So let us take it. Hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it is recorded by Saint Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let us pray. We offer you thanks, Creator, Savior, Giver of life. From the beginning you have made yourself known. The heavens proclaim your glory, and the earth sings your praise. In wisdom you made all that is, and you bless us with the bounty of us. You are merciful and gracious and abounding in love. Yet from our first days we have disobeyed your will. Long ago you called to yourself a people to shine as light to guide all nations to your presence. You led them to freedom. You revealed to them your law and taught them through your prophets. Finally, you sent your promised Son, Jesus Christ, who shared our human nature and understood our weakness. Born of Virgin Mary, he showed forth our love by word and sign. Therefore, with all your people in heaven and on earth, we sing the triumphant hymn of your glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of might and power, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. The bread which we break it is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. This cup is the new covenant in the blood of Christ shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it, all of you, in remembrance of him. Amen. Prayer after communion. God of a love stronger than death, you have given us new birth into a living hope through the gift of your Son. Guard with us, like a mother. You have fed us with yourself and strengthened us for journeying ahead. God of truth and power, you take our weakness and our sin and refashion us by grace. Gracious God, may the love which bids us welcome at this table gather all your children into one in your eternal presence, whole and free at last. Amen. Let us sing our final hymn, All My Hope on God is Founded. All My Hope on God is Founded.
Thank you for Maddie and Martin and the IT live streaming team and the worship team and music team and the photographers. Thank you so much. Go out into the world with the food of your pilgrimage in peace and gladness. Thanks be to God for his gift beyond the world. And the blessing of the God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit
be with us always. Amen.
Thank you. Hope you all have a good week, and God will bless you in the week to come. And if you can stay, stay and go into a breakout room. If you can't, have a good week.